Question was asked, did Moshe Rabbeinu complete his role? Seems like he did. And Nefesh HaChaim says that it says Moshe, Moshe, to indicate that he lived up to his potential. Then the question was asked, did Yoshua complete his role? It seems like not. It seems that Yoshua died before completing his role. His task was to conquer and divide the land of Israel. And he didn't finish doing that. We didn't finish conquering. We didn't... And so then the question was asked, okay, then why did Yoshua die before completing his role? So our sages tell us an explanation, but we need an introduction to this explanation, okay? Chazal explained things in ways that they just got the point across, but they assumed we would know how to interpret what they said. Meaning sometimes Chazal said things very simply, but it's up to us to understand the application of what Chazal said. So this is true throughout Tanakh and then Medrash. It says, Reuven slept with Bilhah. And our tradition is he didn't sleep with her. He just took the bed of Bilhah and moved it out of his father's tent and brought in his mother's bed into his father's tent. But the Torah words it so harshly. The Torah words it as though he slept with his father's wife. So the Torah was telling us the gravity of what he had done. He interfered in an area that he had no right to interfere in. Which bed would be next to his father's bed. And so the Torah terms it in a way that sounds very harsh. So this is what we find in Torah. And then in Navi, right? In Navi we find... It says, the sons of Eli slept with the women who would come to bring their sacrifices to the Mishkan Shiloh. And our tradition is that's not what happened at all. However, what they did was described that way by the Navi to help us understand the gravity on their level, the gravity of what they had done. But they weren't committing adultery, and so on. We have many examples of that throughout Tanakh. And then we also have examples of that throughout the Talmud. We have to remind ourselves, when we read in Shas or in Medrash, when we read Chazal's rebuke of great people, we have to remind ourselves not to just take it literally. It's very natural for us to view great people as though they were like us, right? That's the natural way we look at the world. We say, yeah, this is why I would do it. That's probably why they did it. Okay? That's a cardinal mistake. There are great people in the world, and there were even greater people in the world. So Yoshua bin Nun was compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. We aren't worthy of being dust under Yoshua's feet. So when we speak about Yoshua, we have to be so careful. If Chazal say Moshe is the sun and Yoshua is the moon, so we think, oh, so Yoshua is not so great. Excuse me. The moon reflects the light of the sun. That means Yoshua was so giant that he's like number two in Jewish history. He's the moon. You're talking about someone who the sun stopped for him. He split the Jordan. If Moshe split the Yamsuf, Yoshua split the Jordan. So before we speak about Yoshua's shortcoming, we have to understand that Yoshua was giant. He was worthy of miracles that we don't find. So yes, Chazal tell us there was an area where he had one shortcoming, which we'll discuss in 1 second. But we shouldn't take it simply and just say, I understand, right? It stemmed from the same shortcomings that I have. Yeah, Yoshua also made his mistake. That's a very, very big mistake to look at Chazal that way. So we're about to discuss a shortcoming of Yoshua that the Gemara tells us. We have to be very wary when we read it to give the proper respect to Yoshua and say, okay, let's analyze what Chazal were telling me. Let's not be quick to take it and just say, yeah, I got that, sure, just like me. That's a big mistake. I mean, Yoshua was one of the top prophets of Jewish history. That means Yoshua had self-control on a level that we can't even imagine. That means Yoshua was not into all the temptations that we are. Yoshua was someone of a caliber that we don't understand. We don't understand what it means that Moshe comes off the mountain, all the Jewish people, including the prophets of the Jewish people, can't look Moshe in the face. It doesn't say Yeshua had a problem looking Moshe in the face. Right? When Moshe approaches Yeshua, Yeshua doesn't seem to have a problem. It's just the Jewish people who tell Moshe, you need to put on a mask. We can't look at you, you're shining too much. Meaning Yeshua was on a totally different level. Aaron and the Jewish people had the issue of the golden calf. Yeshua is up on the mountain. Yeshua is on a totally different level. So we're about to talk about Yeshua. We have to bear in mind we're talking about someone giant. Giant. If you think of the biggest tzaddik you could imagine in the last century, I don't know who you want to think about, the Chafetz Chaim or someone else. Take the biggest tzaddik you can think about, multiply him by about 100 times, and you reach the level of Rav Yosef Karo, who lived 500 years ago. Take Rav Yosef Karo and multiply him by 100 times, and you reach the time of the Talmud. Take one of the rabbis of the Talmud and multiply them maybe 30 times, and you reach a rabbi in the days of the Mishnah. Take a rabbi in the days of the Mishnah and multiply him maybe by 100 times, you reach the end of the prophets. Take the end of the prophets and multiply them by I don't know how much, you reach Yeshua. Okay, just so we have a perspective of how far Yeshua is from where we are. I'm saying we think of Yeshua, okay, we're talking about someone who's like, so you're talking about light years away from our perspective on the world. Okay, so we're not taking questions yet. We have to finish this, and then we can take other questions. So the Gemara tells us about Yeshua that when Hashem told Moshe, go to war against the Midianites, and then you're going to pass away, Moshe goes to the Jewish people and tells me, give me 1,000 men from each tribe, we're going to war. And the Jewish people say, no, you're going to die after this. We're not going. And Moshe had to force them to go to war. He said, that's our mitzvah, we're doing it now. And then we know the rest of the Torah until Moshe's passing. Okay. Yeshua is told by Hashem, conquer the land of Israel, divide it, and then you're going to pass away. So Yeshua says, oh, so I could delay my death. So Yeshua takes his time conquering the land of Israel. Now, we read that, and it sounds like, let me extend my life. Obviously, if Yeshua wants to extend his life, he's doing it for the sake of heaven, for the sake of the Jewish people. He's not doing it out of egotistical reasons. And we know that after Yeshua dies, a year later, the Jewish people start a downhill slope. It takes 1 year for them to go off the path, and we enter the period of the judges. 1 year. So Yeshua had very good reason to think that it was in the interest of the Jewish people for him to extend his life, for sure. And yet, Chazal say, on some level, he was off. And so Chazal say, Hashem shortened his life. It backfired. It says, he tried to extend it, and Hashem said, you had a mitzvah, you should have rushed to do it. And so Yeshua's life was shortened, and he did not end up finishing his task of conquering and dividing the land of Israel. But again, Chazal fault Yeshua. We have to understand that Yeshua was not working out of our biases. We're on one level. Yeshua's on a different planet.